Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Thursday, April 18th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamott. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
I'm glad to have you. Also with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, hey, thanks for having me. I now realize how much our theme music sort of sounds like Hocus Pocus by Focus, if you have that in your head, right as it's being played. But I'm glad to be here nonetheless.
Yeah, and now now nobody can unhear that. It's like pointing out the arrow in the FedEx logo. Now that's all you know. All right. So let's talk, first of all, about phone calls. Because right now, one of our phones is probably ringing, and it's probably somebody who's very interested in letting us know that our social security number is about to expire. That's not a thing, for people who are wondering what I'm talking about. That's not a thing. But you will get a number. It's very possible you could get a number of phone calls on the matter. So, Andrew, I wanted to talk to you about something that you wrote up yesterday, because T-Mobile customers might start getting less of those phone calls now.
Yeah, so for several months now, maybe even more than that, we've been hearing about this technology T-Mobile was working on, and they call it Stir/Shaken, for you James Bond fans. And it's basically a way to authenticate phone calls across networks to try to prevent robocalls, which presumably would be unauthenticated. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, they officially partnered with Comcast to roll it out. So it's available on T-Mobile, certain Android phones, and T-Mobile is also working with Apple, so it might come to iPhones in the future. Mm-hmm. Which is good, because as I wrote a couple months ago, in last year, Americans got 26.3 billion robocalls.
Mm-hmm. And that number is only increasing. And I think I saw a number recently, maybe it was when John Oliver talked about robocalls on Last Week Tonight, that they based on the current numbers, and if the rate of increase continues, in 2019, 50% of mobile phone calls will be robocalls, and only a small percentage of those are legitimate things, like school is closed or I'm confirming an appointment, you know, you have to take in your car, go to the dentist or whatever, you know, some sort of weather warning, like legitimate, this is an automated message that I'm sending out to you because you have asked to receive it in one thing and another. And so I'm just, and part of that, I think, is also this came up today because this week I've gotten many, many robocalls. And so I was taking a poll to find out if anybody was using anything. And Dave, you've got a lot of mileage on this topic because you've been talking about it on Mac Geek Gab.
We have. I want to take a quick loop back to this Stir/Shaken thing, though, because this is interesting. And today is the first time I've ever heard of this tech tech is what we'd call it, as I'm understanding it, it's kind of an opt-in technology in that all the device making the phone call has to support it, and most devices right now don't. But when a device does, and when a network that it's connected to does, then the people that are receiving the calls can get some sort of confirmation that this is coming from a verified actual device, not a computer. Am I distilling that down right?
Yeah, that's good. If you an authentic call, your phone will list it as caller verified on the screen.
So if, let's say, if you and I are both on T-Mobile and we both have phones that can do this, great. Like, this tech works. You call me and it's all good. If I don't have a phone that supports it, but I'm also on T-Mobile and you call me with your verified phone, I'm assuming it would also indicate in some way, you know, that it's coming from a verified call. The reverse, me calling you, can't be verified because the phone doesn't support it. My question is, if I'm on AT&T, which doesn't yet support anything like this, and you call me, does AT&T tell me the call's verified because it's coming from a call that's a phone that's verified on a network that accepts verification? Or do we all kind of have to be in the same? How limited is this right now? Is the question I'm trying to ask.
Yeah, I should have said before. So right now it's just T-Mobile, but they are partnering with other carriers. I don't know what Verizon is doing. AT&T announced last month that it had successfully tested a call with it, but I don't know what their rollout schedule of it is.
They've all committed to using this system, which is apparently a pretty easy thing to actually make happen. So particularly, again, John Ellerun last week tonight was talking about this actual authentication mechanism and saying that it would be a very easy thing to do, apparently.
Sure. Yeah, it's just a handshake, right?
Why they were talking about it taking up to 5 years to implement was the part that he didn't understand. Like, this isn't a 5-year implementation program from everything that everybody's seen about it. And so AT&T has announced plans to use it. Verizon has announced plans to use it. As of right now, the only one who's actually implemented it is T-Mobile. So yeah, I don't know how limited it is. But it looks like what it does is create some sort of handshaking verification mechanism, and then when the call gets to you, like, apparently only if you're on T-Mobile,
you know that it came with that handshake or not.
You know, right. It was legit. It might be legit, or yeah, this is straight up shady, because there's like three levels of grading that they apply to these phone calls depending on what sort of authentication they can get out of it. So
sure,
you can figure be figured out. So
I think the 5 years might come from there just need to be enough devices out there in the wild supporting this, so that otherwise people won't, you know, you have maybe 1% of your calls are coming from things that could even hope to do this. And so, we got to get there.
Yeah.
So, yes,
it's very easy to set up, and it's very easy to fake, as evidenced by, you know, people who can set up their own robocall stuff with about $50 and about 15 minutes. Yep. You know, you can have an automated calling system that just starts doing this.
Of course. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's too easy now. Yeah. So, yes, we have been talking about this on Mac Geek Gab. It comes up a lot, especially in the last few weeks. And, while part of the reason is just the frequency of these calls, but part of the reason is what Verizon has been doing. So AT&T has their Call Protect app, and that is it's an app, but that allows you to enable a service, and the service has essentially two feature tiers. There's the free tier, and then there's the $3.99 a month tier. And the free tier will do some filtering, and it actually does quite a bit of filtering. Like telling you if it's a straight up spam call, you get a notification that the call came through, but you don't actually get the opportunity to answer it. And then there's some where it's like AT&T's identified this as a telemarketer, and it rings for the normal amount of rings that you would normally have, and you can choose whether or not to take it or let it go. But it works very well, even the free one. Verizon, up until very recently, has not had a free one. They only had this paid service that would sort of go above and beyond what AT&T would do. And as of March 1st, Verizon started their what do they call it? I want to know the name, but I don't have the name, and I'm looking for it here. But anyway, Verizon, I'll find it. Verizon has their version of this service, and it's a similar thing. It's an app you can download. As of March 1st, they, like AT&T, have a free tier for this that will let you do all that, and it's impossible to turn on. So you have to talk to VZW support on Twitter and tell them, hey, like, as of March 1st, I should be able to get this for free. And they'll do some confirmation thing with you, and then you're good to go.
And the reason this came up is because I have been using the AT&T free tier of Call Protect, which is what the AT&T one is called. And it has started failing me in a spectacular fashion recently. So I was taking a poll to find out if anyone else was using anything. And Dave, you're on the free Call Protect like I am, right?
Oh, yep. Just the free one.
Now, Andrew's actually paying for one. And Andrew, which one are you paying for?
This is called Nomo Robo.
Okay.
It's $2 a month. They do have a free tier, but it's only for landlines or VoIP, I think.
Okay.
And I mean, it's great. I did have a couple unknown calls, I think it was last week, but other than that, it's pretty good.
Excellent. So I was looking at perhaps having to pay for one, and I kind of wasn't interested in giving AT&T any more money, to be completely honest. So I was kind of looking around at other ones, and Dave, there's one that you found called Robo Killer, which is the one that I'm sort of interested in paying for. And tell us why this might hold some appeal for people.
Yeah, we just talked about it on this week's Mac Geek Gab. I haven't tested it, but a listener sent it in as a kind of a cool stuff found mention. Mm-hmm. And it Robo Killer, you link it up with your phone. Your calls get forwarded through them via a selective call forwarding thing that your cell phone almost certainly supports. And then, just like it would if you were using Google Voice or something. And it has a database that they keep up to date of all of these phone numbers that, you know, robocall you, and then you can have it automatically route these robocalls back to other robots. You can have it route to like the same robot so that it starts fighting with itself. But you can also, if it's not a robocall, but like a telemarketer or something, and you want to like send them into a spiraling list of questions or answers to their questions, you can do that. I know some people that are telemarketers, and even if you don't know them, they're human beings on the other end of the phone, just trying to make a living, right? So I tend not to be excited about being rude to telemarketers, although I do understand the allure of this. I use a line that if I realize I'm on the phone with a telemarketer, I mean, if they tell me it's a telemarketer, on like Call Protect, I just ignore it. But if I find myself on the phone with a telemarketer, I use a line that a business partner from 25 years ago taught me, and it works great. It's like, hey, I'm not interested, but thanks for your time. When you say thanks for your time to someone, there is a social contract in place that this conversation is over, and they have to really go out of their way to sort of bulldoze you back into a conversation. Like, no, but thanks for your time. It's sort of reversing things because you're thanking them for their time, which is sort of weird, but get used to it, and it can end these calls politely and without, you know, a whole lot of time and mess. So there you go. That's my advice.
I like it. Well, and sort of a brute force situation, I guess, for people who don't have one and want to at least sort of stem the tide. If you don't want to install another app, or you just want a really easy way to start fixing some of this now, is you can selectively deploy Do Not Disturb on your iPhone. This is a tip that I discovered when my father-in-law came to me and said, I get way too many phone calls from people who are, you know, trying to sell me stuff. It's all robots. It makes me angry, and I want my phone to stop ringing. What do I do? And I'm like, well, for $2 a month. And he went, no. So the free brute force option that you can use is to use Do Not Disturb and tell Do Not Disturb that unless this person is in my contacts, don't ring. And then at least your phone will be silent. It'll light up and tell you someone's calling. It's up to you whether or not you want to take it, but it will generally be silent. Like if you have vibrate only on, it won't vibrate. It'll just show you, hey, this person's calling right now. And then, and he said, well, you know, I don't have all my doctor's office numbers in there, and they call. And I'm like, well, they're going to leave a message, and you'll see that there's voicemail, and you can look at the transcription, you know, and find out what it is that, you know, if they're just calling to confirm an appointment or something, one of those legitimate robocalls we talked about. If they're calling to tell you, hey, you have to come in tomorrow, you know, or whatever, then that's going to be in your voicemail and they'll leave that and it'll be fine. But at least the rest of the time, it won't ring and it won't, and you won't get bothered. And you just maybe need to be a little bit better about making sure you've got all the numbers that you need in your contacts, and it should be fine. So, like, at a minimum, you can start there if that's a thing. If it's a thing that's really bothering you and you have, like, the ringer on your phone. You know, a lot of people are vibrate only. But if you have actual ringtones, then you can at least set Do Not Disturb up to make sure that you're limiting some of that. You can also use something like RoboKiller or NomoRobo. I've seen some people talking about one called Haya, which I think is also what powers AT&T Call Protect.
I think that's right. Yeah, and it's Verizon Call Filter, and we have a link for you. We'll put in the show notes. But yeah,
yes, we will.
Yeah.
So those are, and those are the ones that are interesting. And I'm sure we will have more about that. But right now, what I want to do is tell you about our sponsor this week. And our sponsor is KiwiCo. And KiwiCo is a company that sends a box to you. They call them crates, a Kiwi crate. And a Kiwi crate contains a complete project, and they're meant to encourage different facets of learning, like STEM learning in particular emphasis, depending on which ones you choose. They have hundreds of crates to choose from. There's for kids of all ages, from brand new all the way through high school. And some of them are pretty cool. I've seen this one that it's a walking robot. It comes with everything you need to put the project together, including easy to follow instructions. This is not IKEA furniture. And you get easy to follow instructions. You can build this little robot, and you get this little booklet with information about robots, which is also pretty nifty. I've given a number of these as gifts, and they always go over pretty well, no matter the age of the person that I'm giving it to. And they ship these out every month, and you can pause or cancel your plan at any time. And if you want to get in on this, here's what you do. Go to KiwiCo.com/TDO. My phone is ringing right now with a robocall. I'm sorry. Go to KiwiCo.com/TDO and get your first crate free. That's KiwiCo.com. KiwiCo.com/TDO. And KiwiCo will send you your first crate absolutely free. We'd like to thank KiwiCo for sponsoring the show today.
Too funny that you couldn't even make it through the sponsor read for without a robocall.
See,
very fitting for this episode.
Right. I said robocall three times and now my phone is ringing. Right? Yeah. Isn't that how that works?
Yeah. What's really annoying about those, I know we have other things to talk about, is when you link Wi-Fi calling to your Mac, and it's like, you know, it just takes over the world.
Yeah, well, I'm just getting like an arm massage from my watch right now with the weird phone number. So, yeah. Because I did not turn on Do Not Disturb in your contacts, because I get calls from other people and I want to make sure that they can reach me when they need to. So, yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So, the other thing that I wanted to talk about today was this advertising consent law. And Andrew, take us through this. This was an interesting thing.
Yeah, so last month, Texas introduced what they called the Texas Privacy Protection Act. Basically, it would make it so that people have to opt in order for their data to be used for targeted ads. Mm-hmm. And understandably, advertisers aren't happy, and I think they're trying to either change it or kill it altogether.
No. See, this is a thing that I always think is interesting, is like, on the face, something that sounds like it's pretty good for consumers is, you know, the only reason we hear about it is because the people that it benefits, which are not consumers, are the ones complaining. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's all we ever really hear about. So, I think that I always think that's kind of an interesting thing.
See, I've been making my living for 20 years now. And it, at some level, everybody on this podcast makes their living from advertising, right?
Yes.
And I've never understood why. I've never agreed with it. I totally understand why advertisers want the easy button of tracking people, right?
Yes.
Of course, it makes things way easier. But we started this business and then the spinoff that does all the ads called Backbeat Media long before Google it was a company, you know, let alone before Google started doing this type of thing. And there were actually companies that predated Google. A company called Tribal Fusion started doing some of this stuff, but Google really took it to the next level. And prior to that, we had ads that were perfectly targeted for our readers because of the content that our readers were coming to read. Right now, it's imperfect, but so is targeting people directly based on behavior and all of that stuff. It's just we think it's more perfect. I'm not convinced of that. I was looking at propane grills, and so fine, you target me about propane grills. But if you do that while I'm reading about the next potential OS for the mm-hmm. iPhone, or reading about other things like that, I don't know that that's actually helpful, right? It's proving that people explicitly don't like it. that doesn't mean that it's not actually working.
Right. But I think the problem, the thing I always see is the window, right? So I did a bunch of research about propane grills. I went and bought a propane grill. I now own the propane grill that I have chosen based on all my research. And now for the next month, all the ads that I get on all my stuff are going to be about propane grills.
Yeah, now you're giving me the post-purchase blues, right?
Right.
You know, like, oh, I should have thought about that one or that one. Like, oh, that sucks.
Or even just, why am I getting all these ads? I already bought one, right? Like, like, if you know so much about my habits, you should know that I bought one already and stop advertising to me. Now I need, you know, propane accessories. Why isn't Hank Hill showing up in my advertising?
Right. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, KiwiCo, this is a great example here. What the ads that we do in podcasts, they know they aren't targeting you as listeners based on any bit of your activity other than the fact that you chose to press play on this particular episode. And you know, we know from tracking the success of different campaigns that, and you know, people that listen to Kelly talk about this, Kelly's used this thing. Like, there's a lot of reasons why this is a yes for this particular show and this particular episode. That kind of targeting is, it works, and it's not a problem. Like, target me when I'm, I don't mind targeted advertising, as a consumer or as a, you know, someone that, that sells it and brokers it and all that stuff. But I really like it better when we're targeting people when they want to be targeted. And hey, look, that's exactly what this privacy proposal is talking about. Like, if we can get people to, like, think about, this is like the holy grail. If advertisers would just take a step back and look at this, this is consumers saying, I want you to market to me.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, like, you think that tracking people on the web without their knowledge, it was good, and maybe it was. This is going to be way better.
So much better.
People said the yes. They said, I invite you, come in my door. This is the vacuum cleaner salesman, you know, being hailed down on the street and saying, hey, I need a vacuum. How come you didn't come to my house? Like, come over now, spill your dust on my floor and, you know, and vacuum it up and do your dog and pony show and sell me.
I need a Kirby.
Vacuum.
Come back. Yeah.
Right. Like, this is like, what? Why would we say no to this? I get why we'd say no, because it's not only opt-in. You're opted out until you opt in. And of course that, you know, but even if only 10% of the people opt into this, those are probably the 10% that we're going to buy from you anyway.
Right. Which means that now, like, 80 to 90 or 100% of the advertising that you do is effective. Like, that was that's the thing
you
that I can't understand.
A ton of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I like,
I know.
There's a quote from the advertising groups who are very concerned, I'm sure, about this privacy proposal, where they said that they are concerned that the constant requests for consent will frustrate consumers and desensitize them, which will reduce, and I quote, their sense of control over their privacy.
There's, like, something to be said for, I don't, okay, so I, like, I'll buy into that logic a little bit, because I look at the gatekeeper software, like the early malware software and virus protection software on Windows computers. It really wasn't that early, but let's rewind 15 years. Okay. Your Windows computer was asking you constantly,
cancel or allow
this, right? This app wants to use your internet connection, cancel or allow. And it got to the point where everything was doing this, that you just learned to hit allow. I solve those problems for people for a very long time. I do some of that as my Dave the Nerd these days, but quite a bit less than I used to. 15 years ago, I was doing a ton of it, and I would go out three times a day to somebody's house and fix their, you know, malware, whatever you want to call it, on their Windows machines. And almost all the time I would get there and have them show me what was going to happen. And in the course of them saying, okay, well, when I do X, I like, things are slow, or my browser's, you know, URL bar is hijacked, whatever it is. During the process of them getting there to show me, some app would come up in the background and say, hey, I want to use your internet connection. And like without missing a beat, they would just click allow. Like we're having a conversation and allow just gets clicked. And it's like, hey, whoa, stop. Why did you do that? They're like, all these things come up all the time. I'm like,
right.
But it wasn't their fault. They got desensitized to it.
But also, and I think this may also point out to people, like, if this were the norm, this is how much tracking is happening now.
Right.
You know, sort of like when everybody had to get GDPR consent emails and everybody's inbox overflowed for 2 weeks because like everything you ever signed up ever was like, hi, I just need to make sure. And, you know, it was also sort of a nice, you know, reality check of like, oh, yeah, maybe I should close that account or unsubscribe from that thing or whatever. And, you know, and we don't get those opportunities very often because when you do it in dribs and drabs over, you know, many years, all of a sudden it's, oh, wow, I'd forgotten all about that. I didn't realize that was a thing. You know, there's a lot that goes into that. So I think part of the desensitization that they're referring to is partly brought on by the fact that, like, there is so much of this happening now that opting out of it is no small feat, no matter what. So I think that's also a piece of this that maybe isn't getting, I mean, that's the part they're obviously not portraying, which is there is so much tracking that's happening already that nobody has any idea of or has no awareness about or maybe only knows about on the vaguest of terms, right? So, yeah, I think there's a certain amount of that that's happening that isn't really getting discussed. But I think, that, like you said, Dave, I'm not understanding why they wouldn't want to have more effective advertising by only giving it to people who actually want to see it. Like, why isn't that a good thing?
I mean, I think it's just being short-sighted. I think long-term marketers actually will come to embrace something like this because it really is the holy grail. I mean, it's the same. Every marketer out there knows that the best thing you can do is get somebody to sign up for your email list, even though we know that, you know, X percent of all that email winds up in spam or getting deleted or anything. Like, it is imperfect, clearly.
Yes.
But it is the best way of getting people long term. It, like, it's the way. And yet, you know, and so marketers will do that all day long. These same marketers that are complaining about, oh, you don't want to have to opt in over here are like, but our opt-ins over here are the thing that are driving our business, you know, gangbusters.
Yeah.
Hello. Maybe that works over here too, you know, because at least you don't feel threatened when or upset when you get an email from somebody. You're like, oh, yeah, I subscribed for that.
Yeah.
I might regret that decision now, but it's my decision.
But I did it.
Like,
yeah, that's on me.
I did a thing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Which is a very different thing. So,
right. It's a very different thing.
If this passes or something else changes, I'm sure we will gladly reconvene and tell you all about it. But until then, thanks for joining me, guys. Dave, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, fun stuff. This was, fun.
This was a good time. And Andrew, thanks for coming by to talk to us about this today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Must have been a nice change of pace not to have to talk about who has your data now that shouldn't.
Yep.
It's always nice to have you on when we get to talk about something that's, you know, not data breaches or Facebook. So it's always refreshing. I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. This is the Mac Observer Daily Observations Podcast. You can find us at TMO Daily on Twitter. You can email observations@macobserver.com. You can swing by and leave a comment in the show notes. And if you're giving us feedback, you can also do so by going to iTunes and leaving us a review as well. I will talk to you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.